Test. Good morning. All right. That works. All right. So this week, we're going to do a quick reflection on joy because it's third Advent week or coming up to the third Advent week. And joy, as we know, it's not because of our circumstance. Joy instead of circumstance. Well, actually, let me correct. Because our joy is based on our current circumstance. The circumstance specifically that we are saved through Jesus, through Christ, through what he has done. And so the two biggest holidays that we celebrate as Christians, both Christmas and Easter, are just a few months apart. Because in December, we celebrate Christmas. And then in 4 months, we celebrate Easter. And one celebrates the beginning of Jesus' life. The other celebrates the end of his life. And both are equally important and vital to our faith. Why? Because very, very easily, because Christ's birth was so that he could die. And so this week, let's reflect and celebrate the coming of Jesus. We'll be reading from two passages, the first one from Isaiah, and then the second one from Luke. So Isaiah 35, 1 to 10. The desert and the parched land will be glad, and the wilderness will rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, it will burst into bloom. It will rejoice greatly and shout for joy. The glory of Lebanon will be given to it, the splendor of Carmel and Sharon. They will see the glory of the Lord, the splendor of our God. Strengthen the feeble hands, steady the knees that give way. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong, do not fear. Your God will come, he will come with vengeance. With divine retribution, he will come to save you. Then will the eyes of the blind be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then will the lame leap like a deer and the mute tongue shout for joy. Water will gush forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The burning sand will become a pool, the thirsty ground bubbling springs. In the haunts where jackals once lay, grass and reeds and papyrus will grow. And a highway will be there. It will be called the way of holiness. It will be for those who walk on that way. The unclean will not journey on it. The wicked fools will not go about on it. No lion will be there, nor any ravenous beast. They will not be found there, but only the redeemed will walk there. And those the Lord has rescued will return. They will enter Zion with singing. Everlasting joy will crown their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 14. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those whom his favor rests." So I don't know about you guys, but I grew up in church, and in that I've been constantly taught since young that joy is much more than just a feeling, right? It is much more than just being happy. It is much more than just feeling. And it is rather a state or an attitude in which we approach life. And sometimes, ironically, it sounds sad to talk about joy. Why? Because of statements like joy in spite of our circumstances, joy in the face of serious troubles, or joy in difficult times. And a lot of times these saying makes joy sound so bleak. Now, yes, we do need joy in those times. We do have joy in those times. But joy is not only that. And what makes it ironic even more is that in a way, if you think about it, hope is also described in those times, right? Hope in the face of troubles, hope in difficult times, hope in all of that. And then, but I think that sometimes when we are so caught up in all of that, we forget what joy is for. It's not only for those circumstances, but joy is supposed to be everlasting. And why is the joy everlasting? Because we know that Jesus, his birth, the reason for his birth and his death should give us great joy because of what he has done. Our joy should be constant because Jesus didn't come just to comfort those who are sad. He did. He did that. But if you think about it, his first miracle, he really partied like there never was. His first miracle was turning water into wine. Jesus was not just his joy or knowing the joy of knowing Jesus and what he has done for us is not only for our comfort, but the joy, as we see described in Isaiah, it's something that's bursting forth. It's something that it goes from death into life. In verse 1, it says, the desert and the parched land will be glad. It will rejoice and blossom. It will burst into bloom. So joy isn't just in these times it will bring you hope. Yes, it does. But instead, it transforms into something that is so great, right? And so joy, as we reflect upon joy, as we reflect upon what Jesus' birth means, because as we see in the Gospels, as we hear about the good news and why it is the good news, Jesus was born for the sole reason so that he could save us. He was born for the sole reason, in a way, for death. He was born so that he could die. And because of his death and resurrection, we can have this joy because now we are no longer separated from God. So if you think about it, if you do a flow chart, the reason why we have joy was because of Jesus' death. And Jesus' death, why did Jesus have to die? It was because there was a separation between our relationship with God. And so therefore, our joy is actually based on this restoration of our relationship with God. And now that our relationship with God no longer has the barrier of sin because of Jesus' death, this relationship with God is actually the source of our joy. And therefore, we have a reason for joy in this Christmas season. It's generally everybody, even in like Hong Kong where tall buildings and everything's like offices, you feel a different kind of vibe, right? When all the decorations are up, when all the lights are up, people come to Central not to work, but to look at all the different lights and designs. You feel a little different vibe. And I think it is because even when they don't know Jesus, there is this joy that just permeates through our, just the environment. And so what we could do, or what we should do, is to spread this joy. And what is this joy? This joy is the good news of Jesus. It is the gospel. It is letting people know that Jesus is here. We can have a full relationship with God. We can be happy. We can and we should have this joy. And so as we reflect upon this, as we reflect on this gift that was given, this first Christmas gift, this gift of Jesus, let's meditate and enjoy what this means for us. And so as we have our worship, so we have a reason for joy. We have a reason to enjoy the gift that was given to us. To enjoy Jesus, to enjoy his sacrifice, which leads us to this unfiltered relationship with God. So let's celebrate this. Yes, Lord, we just thank you. Thank you for who you are. We thank you for what you have done. And Jesus, as we celebrate the reason for the season, celebrate your coming as a babe. Lord, help us remember that it is a joyful occasion. Help us be able to have this joy as we spread your love to those around us as we pass them this joy as well as we show who you are to this world. Lord, let us bring joy. Let's bring your joy to each of our little circles, Lord. We thank you. We love you. Let us come to the front for prayer.